Christ was a perfect example for parents. And as I mentioned, many in this room are parents, have been parents, some of us, for quite some time. And talked about that in the first lesson, about why I have the children, and then statistics for fatherless homes. So if we actually went and listened to the world, we would find out that the world believes that apparently parents aren't even needed. Somehow or another, this is all just done by children, and children are such perfect individuals, and they can just raise themselves. And if you see them, they're pretty dumb. Parents are pretty stupid. They don't know what's going on, and they're portrayed as that on TV. And I've been amazed through the years how this has progressed. It started out with a time when you saw a family on TV, and it was the way God wanted it. And then all of a sudden, they kind of switched, and the father became dumber and dumber, if you noticed. And he was really a stupid individual in many of the shows. And after a while the children were smarter than the parents. And then, after a while, we didn't even need two parents. And so what the world looks at is, well, let's just let the schools do it. Let's let the government do it. They can do a better job than any parents could anyway. And it's also permeated the church. The church, schools, and government are not, will not be, never have been in God's sight, a substitute for parents. There is no substitute for parents. If we decide as parents that we're not going to take on this responsibility, we will answer to God for that. I don't mind answering to you for anything. And I'll be as apologetic as I can if you point out something. But I don't want to leave this life having answered God for deliberately shirking my duty and not doing it the way He's asked me to do it. God has the right plan, the best plan, and the only plan that works. We have so destroyed families in this country, we've just decided that, you know what, we're not going to listen. There is no God anyway. Listen, let's get Him out of our lives and let's do that. Let's just mess up society totally to the point where we've valued this life. We take innocent babies, kill them in the womb. We go beyond that, and then we teach them as they get older, well, don't even have to worry about that anymore. Just go out on the street, take a gun. If you don't like a person, just shoot them. And then we say, what happened? What happened? I can tell you exactly what happened. Every time you take God out of anything, you destroy whatever that is that God set up. And we have just determined, unfortunately, in this country, that we know it better. And it does permeate the church to the point where it will destroy families even in the church. I'm going to separate it a little bit, but you will notice that these are intermingled. But I'm doing it on purpose. Anna's a great example of a mother. You remember how back in 1 Samuel, there she was, she wanted a child, and finally she just said to God, "You give me a child. And then I'll turn around and give that child to you." That should be every mother's prayer. That's not just a Hannah prayer. That should be a woman's prayer if she wants children. She should never, ever bring a child into this world without praying to God, "Let me then turn around and give him back to you." And I'm not just picking on women on this one. It just happens to be a beautiful example. She made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child." Very specific what she wanted. She wanted a male child. Was that wrong? No. She knew what she wanted. "Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." And what a child she brought. What a child. In verse 23, her husband understood this. I want you to understand the power of this. You can see godliness in this family. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you've weaned him. Only let the Lord establish His word." Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she weaned him. Can you imagine? Though this is literally giving him to the Lord. She delivered him over to Eli. And again, what a man Samuel. Not a perfect man by any stretch of imagination, but such a godly man. Just read his life sometimes. I need to do a lesson on him. He's an amazing man. She used to make about this was, you got to understand the differences in growth of children. And he said, this is an amazing thing. Moreover, his mother used to, in 1 Samuel 2:19, moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe. A little robe. She understood he was little. And then bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifices. Can you imagine how the robes got bigger every year? Because he was growing. So physically he was growing. Spiritually he was growing. Love her children. Wouldn't all mothers do that? Wouldn't all mothers understand this? Why would an older woman need to teach a younger woman to love their children? It's because we got the fact that they don't. I don't know how many abortions were done last year. I don't know how many women did drugs and their children died right there. I don't know how many children, mothers, as we've learned, one of them put one in a microwave and killed it. Why does that have to be taught? This is the kind of love that's like a brotherly love. Would you need to teach brotherly love? Absolutely. It's a learned thing. People tend to think, we're just born with all this and we know how to do it. No, we don't. They don't see the example if they don't understand that. Do you really believe we live in a country where women love their children as a rule? Think about it for a moment. If they did, what would change? She would teach her children. We look at an example like Timothy. Paul said, "I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded in you also." And then he would go on in the third chapter and say that from a childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. This is the way God wants it, a godly mother. A mother who will teach her children. When will she start teaching them? Well, I'll wait a little while. No. No, it's your responsibility. Teach now. Teach now. Teach now. Some of you have younger children. Don't stop. Your responsibility. Don't put it off on someone else. It's yours. But you have to set a good example for her children. To try not to take lead over their father, her husband. You know why? Because if you do that, you're going to teach them that when they get married, they can do exactly the same thing. And then you wonder why marriages are not the way God would want them to be. In 5 verse 22 of Ephesians, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Very difficult sometimes, because husbands sometimes and fathers don't take on their responsibility. So a woman says, well, then I must do it. Now you've got two people sinning. I just won't do what he says. Now you've got two people sinning. Now you're both going to have to answer to God. Is that the way to do it? To not teach or have authority over their father, her husband. In 1 Timothy 2:11 through 14 is a passage of Scripture that says, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. When a woman is determined that she will teach over her husband, and she will have authority over her husband, she will violate God's law. And when she does that, she'll answer to God for it. There must be submission in the family. Then wonder why, if you're not that way, that your daughter will not be in submission to her husband. To show respect for their father, her husband. In Ephesians 5:33, nevertheless, let each one of you, is so particular, love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. And no, I'm not going to just pick on women. I'll get to the men in a few minutes. For you women who are waiting, it'll be there. For fathers, Abraham is a great example. He would command his children. It is interesting to keep the way of the Lord. When God looked at him, he knew that this man, he knew about him. He knew that this man would do the best that he could. Certainly they made mistakes in their life, and we know about that with Sarah and Abraham, but in Genesis 18, 17 through 19, the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him." I'm thankful I share this man's name. I would wish that this would be me. I would hope that God would write this about me. But I don't know that he would. But I hope that he would. Don't you? Men? "That he might command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he's spoken to him." Abraham had to keep his part. And part of that was being a father. If he didn't father right, the blessings wouldn't come. That's amazing. That's his part. Fathers have great power. Now we're going to go back to Jesus Christ. Remember the things I talked about with Jesus Christ? We're going to bring those out about. Fathers have great power over their children. Yeah, fathers can take their lives anytime. Fathers are stronger, meaner, rougher than their little children. Yes. And at any time they could snuff them out. There's no doubt about that, and we see that happening. And that's horrible. Don't use that power like that. But you do use it like this. Just like with Christ, who did rule over, if you become the leader of over the disciples, and they were to follow him, so it should be with the Father. The Father should live in such a way that he can be followed. In 1 Timothy 3:4-5, "One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence." But God, whoa, you're giving me a tremendous amount to do here. Let's see. What if they won't be in submission, God? Is that an out here? He say, "Well, I'm going to give you an out. If your child just says, 'I don't want to do that,' just give it up. You're fine. I'll let you go." No. "For if a man does not," and this is talking about men who could serve as elders, "how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God?" Titus would talk about that, them living unruly. They're to be obeyed. All parents are. Like I said, some of this will overlap. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." But here's the difference. Fathers have a great responsibility. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, or up in the training and admonition of the Lord. I'm going to shirk that. I'm not going to do it. And I will answer to God for it. Fathers, if you've decided that's not something you want to do, you will answer to God for it. Fathers, if you've decided, "I'm not going to teach my children, I'm just going to..." I hope the church does it for me, or I hope somebody there will just take it over and will teach my children. I'll just let somebody... Well, let's take them to the preacher. You're taking them to the wrong person. I'm not their parent. I can tell you right now. It's not what I do. The truth is with it, you shirk it. You better repent. If you've done it already and they're already grown, you better repent to God for it and confess it and ask His forgiveness, because that's the best you can do now. But don't give it up just because they're out of your household. Fathers, you have tremendous, tremendous responsibility. You have such great power, and if you don't start young, wonder why they don't do it when they get old. Proverbs 6:20, "My son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake the law of your mother." Fathers have great power, and we can see how God looked at this and how serious He took it in Deuteronomy 21:18-21. Under that law, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him, bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of the city, and they shall say to the elders of the city, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard.'" And we're not talking about a 4-year-old. We're not talking about a four-year-old. We're talking about someone who has grown up and they're a glutton and a drunkard and we don't take care of it. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones, so you shall put away the evil from among you and all Israel shall hear and fear. We don't take it very seriously. You can see how serious God takes it. And I've said so many times, I'm just thankful that's not in the New Testament. Because I don't know what day my parents would have grabbed me and we would have gone outside the city and they would have stoned me. Not because necessarily I was a glutton and a drunkard, but I did some other things that I probably needed stoning for. But here's something that fathers struggle with. Just like Jesus loves us unconditionally and unselfishly, we need to love our children that way. Children with involved, loving fathers are significantly more likely to do well in school, have healthy self-esteem, exhibit empathy and pro-social behavior, and avoid high-risk behaviors such as drug use, truancy, and criminal activity compared to children who have uninvolved fathers. That's from the fatherless generation on all the statistics that we talked about. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. No, there's a lot of other things it takes. But this is one thing that men really need to work on. And it's the other kind of love. It's the love that says, I'll do you good regardless of how you treat me. I am so thankful that my parents did all of that to me. No matter how I treated them, my father always treated me with love. Sometimes it was on the end of a belt. Sometimes it was on the end of a hook. And that's why he says, provoke not. Don't exasperate them. Don't embitter them. Ephesians 6:4. Colossians 3.21, do not provoke to wrath. And in Colossians 3.21, just don't provoke. Now, why do you think he says that to fathers? Because we have the tendency to do that. We're men. We're going to act like men. Just shut up and listen to me. When I tell you that you're going to build that house, you're going to build that house. Dad, I'm only 6 years old. I'm exaggerating here, but that's what we do with. You can't do that. You can't ask of them things they are not capable of doing and then get on to them when they can't accomplish something because they weren't capable of it. The little coat every year. Then when you get the big coat on, you can demand more of them. Having the Father pities or has compassion for His children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. How many times as a father do you look down and you go, ugh. And boy, your heart goes out to him. You can't let that overrule what you need to do, but sometimes you need to let it overrule, right? Just like God does with us. And then following those principles that are given, although he was talking about spiritual gifts here, these are principles that apply to all of our relationships in life. Love suffers long and is kind. That's with your children as well. Love does not envy. That's your children as well. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, and thinks no evil. Think about it the next time you're with your children and you need to about misbehavior in public. Do it. But don't do it in such a way that you look like a total idiot when you do it. Just get it done. I love parents who just take them aside and straighten them out right then and there, don't you? Rather than letting them scream or so that everybody can hear him for about 15. Well, you remember what we talked about with Christ? He gave us everything we need. Children who live absent from their biological fathers are on average at least two or three times more likely to be poor, to use drugs, to experience educational health, emotional victims of child abuse, and to engage in criminal behavior than their peers who live with their married biological or adoptive parents. Again, from the fatherless generation based on a lot of statistics. 1 Timothy 5:8, if anyone does not, and especially for those of his household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. And then we learned this from Ephesians 6:4, you fathers do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training. That's chastening, nurture, instruction, discipline. It's by action. It's what you do, in this case, to them. Like maybe punish them for wrongdoing. In Proverbs 13:24, he who spares his rod hates his son or daughter, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. You remember what I said? Do it then. But do it in a way that the child. Do it. Whatever it takes so that that child can bring their own body into subjection. Son from hell, Proverbs 23, verse 14, you shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. We're not talking about child abuse. We're talking about good punishment. Where people get it that a child, they're going to want to go out and murder someone. I was poor. I just wanted to crawl up in a corner and be by myself. I never thought about it. I'm going to get somebody back for it. Because if you don't learn that, when God says you're going to lose your soul eternally because you didn't discipline yourself, what are they going to say? Oh, that is real. Punishment and discipline without love produces a child who is provoked to wrath or provoked to do wrong. They feel they cannot please their father on earth, so why should they try to please their father in heaven? And they might fail to see God is love. Instruct them just as Moses told Israel. This is the chastening. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Shall talk of them when you sit in your house. When you walk, by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Got a question, fathers. True or untrue? Talk of them, the Scriptures, when you sit in your house. When you walk, by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. True? 24 hours a day? Do you always bring Scripture into things? This is admonished by word, and that could go with the one we just used, but to put in mind training by word, either by encouragement or, if necessary, by reproof. Number one, teach them to respect you. Don't allow them to disrespect you. You know when you start? The best time to start is when they're 16. Proverbs 19:26. Oh, in case this goes online, somebody thinks I mean that. No. This starts when they're little. The first time that they try to disrespect you in something, you do something, let them know, don't do that. Proverbs 19:26. He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Is that what you want? Teach them to respect others. You remember 2 Kings? Elisha? Then he went up there to Bethel, Second chapter 23 and 24. And as he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him and said to him, "Go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head." So he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. The two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youth. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been watching television, which is a waste of time, but it was on the news. What in the world is wrong with these college students? I'm going to tell you what my dad would do to me. If he saw me on television do what some of these ignorant young people do, he'd show up at the college. I don't care how old I was. Man, he'd dress me down and he'd tell me, "I'm ashamed of you as my son. I'm withdrawing from you if you don't straighten out your life." So stupid and ignorant. Disrespect. No respect for authority. Don't care if they want to talk about killing the United States president. Don't care. It's like, really? The world has happened to us. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in anything. And their parents should be ashamed. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen if they don't change. This is the same God they're going to face. It's sad. And it's serious. But you know what? I don't get a chance to teach them. But I am talking to you. Parents, I made a lot of mistakes. Same ones. Constantly train. That's what we talked about with Christ, even on his way to be tried and go to the cross. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, start there from. Yeah, there'll be some bumps in the road. But you do it the best you can with a lot of prayer. ideas. It's of the Lord. It's not my own concepts. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know the way of man's not himself. It's not a man who walks direct his own steps. I have no idea. I've told you before, if it was my ideas about a lot of this, I'd change things. And I... the world does. It's for their future families. Matthew 19:5. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, quoted all the way back from Moses and Genesis, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That's what God said at the beginning when He created man and woman. And set a masculine example for your sons and daughters. Don't be wimps. You know, the glory of young men is in their strength. Let the young men know they need to be men. Don't listen to society. I'm not talking about be a man as in you just do what you want to do. I'm talking about be a man as a stand up and lead and do it in the right way. Be the man. Sad. I'm not reading the rest of that. Y'all can read it for yourself. Let me tell you something, men. This is so sad to me to hear a man in front of his sons or daughters putting the wife down that he married. Saying things about her in front of them, putting her down all the time, talking about, well, she's just stupid. She just... And I hear men doing this. Terrible. Just like I said about women earlier, not understanding their situation. In Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives. Well, what if she's not lovable? Husbands, love your wives. Well, what if she... Husbands, love your wives. Don't do it. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. Show honor to their mother, your wife. In 1 Peter 3:7, husbands likewise dwell with them in understanding, giving honor to the wife. Too many times, husbands, in front of their children, don't honor the wife. They ridicule her, put her down, talk about her, say things to her in front of them and say things to other people about her. Now, I'm talking about some good-natured kidding on both sides. We understand that. Wife. And you know why? That your prayers may not be hindered. You want to keep talking to God? And always keep that goal before them. Just as Christ had the goal, and He went to the cross. With us, the goal is putting God first in our lives because we have a greater goal in mind in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things to be added to you. Children, did your parents, many of you, do that? Now you're a parent and you know they didn't. Wouldn't you want to? Serve others. In 1 Corinthians 9:19, for though I am free from all men, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. Show yourself as a servant. Show yourself willing to go out and do things, fathers. Show you're willing to help others. You know what you'll teach your children? To do the same thing. I don't have time. Make time. Make time. And show love for the church of our Lord. This is something we all need to do. But parents, some of you are young, you're going to get your shot at this with your children. So those of you that are bringing children up right now, planning on doing it, not looking at Kayla, but those that are near future, our Lord. 4:25, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What kind of example are you showing your children? Are you saying to them, baseball is more important? Are you saying to them, soccer is more important? Are you saying to them, family get-togethers are more important? What have you taught your children, and why did I teach mine? You young people who are bringing up your children, remember this. Nothing is more important. Have Bible studies. I thought of Cornelius when I first thought of this. Acts 10:24, and they followed day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and called together his relatives and close friends. He wanted that Bible study right there in his home. Really? Use our homes. That's what he gave them to us for. Our houses, the things we have. We're blessed with them. Use them for spiritual things too. Parents, show them that not only you want to study with them, but you want to study with others. Show and teach your children. Your goal is for eternal salvation. I was telling Roger, I said, Glennon got up and talked about, you ready to go? And he got up and talked about, I won't live here longer. And you'll see this in the invitation song. In the invitation song. It was just the difference in the songs. I was just saying, that's a difference in the way we look at things. We have a goal. The goal is, I'm coming home. We sung earlier. But we also want to stay here. Because we think we've got work to do and we want to get that work done before we leave here. So we're going to sing that as the next invitation song. Just some thoughts of me, some parents' do's and don'ts. What they're worth, try to base them on principles from the Bible. Pray for your children. Show them you have a relationship with your Father in heaven as well, so that they can have a relationship with you and you can teach them about that. You lead it. You let them know what to do. You let them have to say their prayer, but you show the lead. Teach your children the Bible. If you don't do it, somebody else will teach them something you don't want them taught. And then they won't know how to refute it, and they won't know how to talk about it. Spend time with them. Easy, right? No, none of these are. Give selective praise. Don't overdo that. Be careful with it. You have to be very selective in it because you don't want them to think that they're greater than everybody else. Love them with all your heart and set up structured routines. Here's a problem. We don't have those anymore, I'm afraid, in most families. A time to eat, a time to get together, a time to go to bed, a time to say prayer together, a time to study together. We don't have that anymore. It's just like whatever happens, we'll just get through the day and hope for the best. Them think they're the center of the universe. They're not. There's been a lot of kids before, and truthfully, I was the center of the universe, so no one else can have that. No. There is no center of the universe in a human being. Don't talk gossip about others, especially Christians, and I hate social media. I see it all the time. I am not on Facebook, just to let you know. Whatever you write on there, I really don't know what you wrote. But I hear from people all the time about what's written on there, and it's horrible. But it's not just that. You wonder why some children don't become Christians is because their parents talk so bad about Christians all their life, then why would you want to become one? Now, I blame it on the children. They're adults, that's for sure. But I will tell you this. I tried so hard never to do that. There's times that adults need to talk about situations and things. We all know that. But there's a big difference in the two. Don't. Now, if they come and ask you questions, you do the best you can with it. But don't do it. Don't complain about doing good, Kyle. I'm just kidding. Don't complain about doing good. And I know he doesn't. I know he doesn't. You think about that for a minute. It's one of our bad things in life, isn't it? We do something good, and then right in front of our kids, as soon as the people leave, we went, man, I'm alive. Did you see? Is it working? No, you don't complain about it. And don't criticize and compare. Oh, man, the worst thing you can do to your child is go, now, little Johnny, he always does this right, and you... Over at the Humricks, they have a bird, and I've noticed that the bird can talk, you know, and so it's always Philip. This bird is always, Philip. I mean, it drives me nuts, and Dustin said, it's like I don't even exist. And I'm just saying that, and I'm not using it for this, but the truth is on this that it's not right. And we're guilty of it. If we have two children, if we have six children, it doesn't really matter. We have one child. We're always thinking, wow, that kid acts so good in mine's. We've got to get that kid home. You know? I mean, it's just the way we look. Don't do it. Don't do it. That's the worst thing you can do to a child. You want to exasperate them. Don't do it. Don't let them make decisions for the family. It's not that they don't have a part in it. You get their part. Don't do it. You might bake it based on what they said, but don't do it. Because pretty soon, guess what they're going to do? Well, you will do what I say, or I will throw a fit. Parents have great responsibility. Parents must do as God demands, or they will answer to Him. For those of us that are parents and have watched our children grow up, and this is why I can say this today, because Samantha and Bill aren't here. Because every time I say something, they go, "Would you just quit?" And here's what I say, I see my mistakes. And I'm not talking about their mistake. It's just one of those where you think, if I could just pull that back a little bit. Have you ever thought that? If I could just have that one to do over, right? We don't get a do over. So we still work with them. We still talk to them. And by the way, they may be much better people than me. I'm not talking about that. It's just as a parent, it's just something that hits us. It's like, really? I had very serious and God-fearing parents. Imperfect, not sinless, but blameless. I am so thankful for that. I thank God. You don't know how many times. And I just look around and I think, I wish everyone had godly parents. Don't you? Each one of us, though, has a father. I don't care how badly we were treated by our parents, and some people in this room were treated very badly by their parents. Some people were... No. We have a father who loves us. I look at Mabel. Provides for us. I was just thinking what her children talk about. Chastens us and has a goal for us. And you think about that for a moment. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that He will do all of that despite our way we misbehave? We need to understand that. We need to obey Him. We need to look at Him because He's perfect and He will reward or punish righteously. My parents always didn't, and I didn't. But God will. That's one thing I don't have any doubt about whatsoever. And it's going to be a reward if I obeyed. It's going to be punished if I didn't. When we think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I would argue that on earth, the main thing that He talked to the Jews about all the time was their attitude. They had a lot of other stuff right, but their attitude was wrong. I've thought about that as a parent. That was what I always struggle with a lot of times with my children. They did a lot of things right, but their attitude was like, what? They would clean the room, but their attitude was bad. Well, they didn't always clean the room either. But their attitude was bad about it. And that's what bothered me more than anything. Doesn't you as a parent, those of us that have older children, we need to change our attitude toward God. We need to say, I will do whatever you ask of me. I'll obey you. I'll do what you ask. I've already talked about what we need to do to be saved. I've already talked about as Christians what we need to do to correct ourselves. If you have any needs, we would be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?